Everybody,
this is Y'all Heard,
a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know. Pete, how are you? By the way, for the future, if you don't know how you are, you could beat me and ask me how I am, and that would give you time, but you never do. So, Pete, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little sleepy today, which I realize is not very new, but today I had a good reason to be sleepy. If you are part of our Patreon, then perhaps you saw one of the Pete's previews where I told everybody that my uncle was sick. Well, my uncle's still sick, but, yeah, there were some things going on last night, and I did not sleep well. And then I took a nap, and my mom called me during the nap because she needed somebody to talk to, and I was like, well, I gotta talk to mom.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, that stinks. Okay.
But, yeah, otherwise, just some bozos at work being a pain in the ass, but hey, that's life.
I'm sorry, Pete.
I still have my air conditioner, though.
But you also have your air conditioner, and they fixed it, right?
Yes. And okay. I don't believe I answered you when you asked me why.
I didn't understand what that text meant.
I told Marissa that they fixed the air conditioning, but that I kept my window air conditioner running because it doesn't work in my apartment. And yeah, you could set the temperature thing to like 78, and the air conditioning will never go off because it will never get under 78. So So I was actually going to buy a portable air conditioner myself before the air conditioning even broke. And when I got up here and found out that it was still broken, that was like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get one then.
Yeah.
And okay. I think I told you guys I put mine out in the hallway when they gave me one because I had already had one, and you can't run two at the same time or the power in your whole apartment goes down. So I put it out in the hallway, and it sat there for a couple of days, and then somebody took it, but they took it on a Sunday. So I'm pretty sure somebody's going to come after me and be like, you owe us an air conditioner.
Because you think someone just stole it?
Yeah, I think like one of my neighbors probably has two. And hopefully when they go to collect them all, they'll see that one person has two and I don't have any. But I feel like that's some really, really high-level critical thinking for a lot of people these days.
That's true. Can I actually, even though it's not my talk, can I use that as a segue into how I'm doing?
Absolutely.
Or was there more to say?
No.
Because it was just too perfect. Okay. I did buy the flag, which I think I've told people before, the Halloween American flag. I just purchased it yesterday. So to explain it, if you didn't hear, it's black and orange stripes instead of, that's what an American flag looks like, instead of red and white. And in the section where the stars are, it's black and it has a jack-o'-lantern's face. Not a picture of a pumpkin, just like the face part.
Just the wand, guys.
Like, yeah, just the eyes and the mouth. I think it's very obvious what it is. I just want to recap that almost everyone in my neighborhood has an American flag. Mm-hmm. I think that means something very specific, which I'm not going to draw the line. Actually, as I was coming home from a vacation, I saw, we got new neighbors. I was like, oh, they're young people. Cool. We don't have anyone young. And the young woman was wearing she was wearing a USA sweatshirt and putting an American flag in her flagpole as I pulled up. So, my family thinks that because people lack critical thinking skills, they're not going to think it's a Halloween flag and they're going to think it's like, they didn't say this specifically, like anything, an anti-cop flag, like they're gonna just come to like any conclusion and it's gonna be bad. And I just ran it by someone my age thinking they'd have like a slightly more measured response, and they're like, violence might come upon you. My husband is not confrontational, which I am. I'm like indirectly confrontational. I am not directly confrontational. He's like, please so maybe. And I said, I am. And he said, can you maybe wait for October? And I said, yes, sure.
Even mid-August.
Yeah, I was like, okay, sure. Like, I would say they're stupid if they can't make a connection and it's in the fall time. How stupid do you think people are? Do you think some people still think it's bad or offensive? Even if they don't think it's anti-cop, are they going to think I'm making a mockery of the flag? Which, who fucking cares? I'm sorry if a patriotic person listens to us.
I think,
Also, I'm sorry. If you are someone patriotic and you think I am not respecting the troops, I just want to let you know that my father is a veteran and he doesn't like American flags, so that's just how I was raised. Continue.
Actually, my dad, also a Vietnam veteran, did not really appreciate the way that Vietnam troops were treated and everything like that.
My father's like, I fought for this country. This country isn't the kindness to me. I don't need to like go out of my way to have a boner for it. My father did not say that quote.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, let me know your thoughts.
I think, I respect your position. I do think that it would seem out of place timeline-wise, but I think I'd also challenge you to the obvious option, Marissa, of just not hanging a flag.
That is the obvious option, but the only reason why is because we have a built-in holder for a flag attached to our house, and I feel like it's just...
Do you have a pole in it that has nothing on it?
No, but it's, like, meant for you to just slide a pole in.
Yeah.
So if that was not there, I wouldn't even have given it a second thought. But I was like, Aaron's like, oh, look, we have a flagpole. Should we put an American flag? I was like, you don't know what that means? And he was like, no, it just means you're patriotic. And I was like, first of all, I'm not, but okay. We did. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to get into it. His parents came from communism, so he thinks there's nothing wrong with being patriotic. So that's fine. And I respect that. I respect that his parents came from a place that was not ideal to them. So they are more patriotic than me. Cool. I will not hang an American flag.
What if someone sent you like a Dog Days of Summer flag?
The fuck does that mean?
Just like a flag with some dogs on it that said Dog Days of Summer.
Yes, if someone gave that to me. Oh, are you going to send that to me to stop me from committing crimes?
I just, my mom has a flagpole too, and, like the one that you're describing, and she puts up the American flag as well, but, she used to put up different flags for different times of the year. She has like a whole thing full of them.
I mean, honestly, I wanted to put an Everyday is Halloween flag, but I didn't find a nice one that didn't look really weird, which I feel like that's, what are you going to say to that? But, so the fact is probably, and that's why I'm talking this out, because I'm not so naive that I think everyone's going to not be bothered, but it's probably because it is a play on the American flag and some people are very sacred about it, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not connecting with that. For everybody who's afraid of you, granted, yes, I am a white person, but I'm not connecting with that as being offensive in any way.
Okay. Okay. I just probably maybe they'll think it's anti-communist.
Like, what do the colors black and orange represent anything nefarious in that if they don't see the jack-o'-lantern face because of the way it's hanging, maybe they'll think it's some other kind of flag?
No, but is it some sort of pro-cop? I could be very, very wrong.
The blue one is.
Wait, isn't there one that's like mostly black but then has a blue line in it?
Yeah.
So, I'm this cop flag. Okay, so the cop flag is black and white with a blue line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't feel like orange and black all over is the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to hang it. Thank you. So that's how I am. I actually had a lovely weekend. I had a lovely weekend, and in the morning, which I was going to return to my house, my husband said, our plumbing is backed up. But other than that, I had a lovely weekend. So
what happens when you leave Aaron at home alone?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe took big dumps when I was gone. I'm glad my husband doesn't listen to this podcast and never will. Anyway, let's move on.
We don't have any calls. We don't have any emails. Just wanted to remind everybody at the beginning of the show. Our phone number is 570-POTWAD1 if you'd like to call and leave your opinion on Marissa's flag or something like that.
Yeah,
and our email is y'allheardpod@gmail.com. So,
Alex, I welcome your input. You always have, like, good opinions and good viewpoint. Now, I don't mean, like, on the right side of viewpoint. I mean, you have, like, good, like, you really think things through.
If the world was full of Alexes, you could hang the flag without any question.
But you're very thoughtful. Maybe you could bring up points I don't think about. I don't want, if I lived alone, that flag would be even bigger. I'd buy 10 of them, but I don't live alone.
If people just start putting like pumpkins on your steps.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah, as long as they're not like on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
It is like, go
again,
home, minority.
Timing could make it feel more appropriate.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, what's our icebreaker?
Icebreaker.
Oh.
What?
I wrote it.
I know what it is. I wrote it for you.
But I took time in writing it so that I wouldn't. I know sometimes I tell you the icebreaker ahead of time, and then when I ask it, there's like a different slant on it, so I want to make sure I actually ask you. So, Marissa, if you could rewrite your life to be an Olympian, which sport would you want to spend your life competing in? So you've dedicated your life to it, and I gave Marissa a list of 300 and some different sport categories.
This is like the Summer Olympics, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So immediately I thought of rhythmic gymnastics, and I didn't see it on the list because I wasn't thinking right. And then I moved on, and I realized, no, I just like the idea of rhythmic gymnastics. I don't know, I'd actually want to live my whole life doing rhythmic gymnastics. My true answer, when I really thought about it, is handball.
Interesting.
I want you to know I've never played handball in my life.
Uh-huh.
But my father used to play handball when I was growing up, and he talked about it a lot, and it sounded really fun. And I've been wanting to play handball for years, and I just never find a handball court. Nobody seems to play handball, ever. So I never find a handball court or even a wall that's, like, in a place that I could play handball. So I just have an idealized version of handball in my head, what handball could be. And it seems really cool.
My boss, he plays once in a
Where?
While when there's somebody to play with. At work, they have a handball court in the gym, but they are, I think he said they were going to take it out soon.
Yeah.
Because they're replacing them with pickleball courts, Marissa. Right?
No, okay, yeah. Let's replace it with a trend. Sure. Yeah, let's do that. That's cool. Handball has only been around forever, but I guess nobody plays handball anymore. Pickleball, everyone who plays pickleball is so intense about it that it makes me hate it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to play pickleball for a little bit, and I still kind of want to because I heard it's better for older people, so it seemed to me that I'd play with my parents. But, like, I hate how people are about it.
Yeah. It's the fans, not the sport.
I mean, but you mean the fans that play it?
Yeah. Shit, could you imagine somebody who just watches it?
That's a psycho.
Somebody who ambitiously watches and goes, maybe I'll be able to play that one day.
Yeah, that's a psycho. How about you?
All right, so I was scrolling through the list, and the first one that stood out to me was men's field hockey, because I didn't know that was a thing.
Me neither. I also didn't know trampoline was a thing.
And that was what I ended up picking.
I like that you gave me this question so far in advance, and you didn't think of an answer till like a minute before we recorded.
Yeah. I think that, like, I don't know which way I would go. Maybe I'd be super serious about it, or maybe I would be a little fun about it. But either way, I feel like I would be a good character in somebody's life by being the person who is trying to be in the Olympics for men's trampoline.
That was tempting. I keep wanting to buy myself a fitness trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
But big trampolines sound so fun, but like people are, I don't know. I feel like I could get really hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I feel like I said it on the show before, but just in case I didn't, I had reconstructive surgery on my leg when I was a kid because they took out a tumor and moved some muscles around. Anyway, a friend of mine had a trampoline, and I asked my doctor if I could play on the trampoline. And this was like a year or two out from when I had the surgery. And he goes, okay. No, you can't play on the trampoline.
Aww.
And I said, how come? He was like, if you fall and you break your leg, they're pretty much just going to have to cut it off.
Oh, my God.
Because it's already so messed up. And I'm like,
God.
Fine.
That's so, whoa. I'm traumatized. Okay.
Yeah. It didn't make me afraid of the trampoline, though. It just made me sad that I couldn't.
Makes me afraid of the trampoline.
But I didn't have that rebellious spirit.
I get it.
I didn't have that punk rock attitude to go, fuck you, doctor, I'm going to get on a trampoline. Ouch.
And break my leg.
That's also why I never went skiing or anything like that.
Oh, my cousin went skiing, and she took lessons, and then she went on the bunny hill. To this day, like, she hasn't told us the story for years, so it doesn't make sense when I say it, but I swear to you, somehow she, like, fell, and I don't know whether, like, the skis didn't fall off when they should have, or something twisted the wrong way, but somehow her skis went into her shins, and you could see the bone, and she has all these scars on her legs from the first time she ever skied, and I won't ever ski. But everyone's like, how the fuck do you do that? That's not possible. She did it somehow.
If it wasn't the one, if it was the shin of the opposite leg, then
yeah,
the ski,
I know, that could make sense.
But
I don't know.
But Marissa, we don't have time to think about that today.
Yeah, we don't. Okay.
Today, I'm talking about the Olympics. And my true motivation for covering this topic will be uncovered later in the episode.
I mean, we all feel like your motivation is just that the Olympics are starting tomorrow from when we record.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to try to put this episode out early so that most of the things I tell you aren't going to seem completely stupid by the time
by the time
you hear it at the end of next week. You'll just be like, this guy watched the Olympics and just summarized all the weird stuff about it. But the motivation that I had to cover this, I couldn't do a whole show about. So I thought that I would just gather some Paris Olympic things together and, that hopefully it coincides with the Olympics a little bit and you guys get to bring some of this stuff up in your conversations at parties. You remember that?
Yeah.
I also tried to look at gossip websites for Olympic things to see if there was any Olympic gossip that I could sort of appeal to you with, but it was hard to come by.
Aww.
One site was just like, Snoop Dogg's going to be a commentator at the Olympics.
That's not gossip.
Right. That's like a press release.
Yeah. Stupid.
Okay, so first thing I'm going to tell you about, maybe you've heard about, maybe you haven't. I'm hoping you haven't, Marissa.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Parisians pooping in the Seine River.
Ooh, no.
Okay, so there's a protest, and the name is the action that is required. It's called hashtag I shit in the CN.
Ooh,
on June
23rd. That's a cool dude.
The backstory is that the Seine River will host several open water swimming events during the games. Okay, including.
Oh, I didn't even say I was going to host pooping events.
Including.
Which didn't make sense because I know you said it was a protest, but somehow that's what I was understanding.
They're going to do marathon swimming and also the swimming legs of Paralympic and Olympic triathlons.
Okay.
So people, like, competitors are going to be swimming in this river. And if you watch the opening events, then you'll see a lot of boats on this river as well. Now,
okay.
The Surf Rider Foundation for Water Quality collected samples of water from the river and tested them to find concentrations of E. coli and another thing, which is... Oh, wait.
What?
I'm just going to... E. coli, intestinal bacteria, and formidable indicators of pollution of fecal origin.
Oh, no.
Of the 14 samples taken, whether heavy rain or on a sunny day, that'll make sense later, only one enabled the team to conclude that the water quality in the CN was even close to satisfactory.
That's so gross.
In a statement, they said, "It is therefore clear that the athletes who will be taking part in the Olympic and Paralympic events planned for the CN will be swimming in polluted water and taking significant risks to their health."
Holy shit. That's horrible.
Now, if it rains a lot, we're not city planners, okay, guys?
Yeah.
But if it rains a lot, the sewage system, much like your house, Marissa, the sewage system starts to back up. Uh-huh. And when it backs up and overflows, it goes into the river.
Oh, no!
Which is why they're saying after rainy days and sunny days, they're still coming up with these reports that it's not safe water.
How did anyone even let Paris have the Olympics there then? Don't they, like, look into shit?
They're actually having it. They're hosting it 100 years after they hosted it in, 1924. So that's kind of cool, right?
I mean, it is, if this wasn't happening.
No, yeah, I think everybody was like, no, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Don't send any scientists or anything, it'll be fine.
Holy shit. Oh, now, play on words. Fun, whatever.
So, when the water quality was called into question, French leaders pushed back. Mayor Hidalgo of Paris said in a television...
A little duty never hurt nobody. That's what he said.
Even better. She and President Macron would swim in the river after July 14th, but before the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
At this point...
Oh, yeah, I like this.
At this point, though, there were many Parisians who were unhappy with the leadership in France, and they started an online trend saying that they would poop in the river so that you knew for sure that the mayor and the president would be swimming in shit.
By the way, that whole thing, it's giving president drinking Flint water and saying it's
Yeah, okay. It's gimmicky, for sure.
Yeah.
Translated the website that was dedicated to this, it said, because after putting us in this shit, it's up to them to bathe in our shit, which...
Yeah, oh, that's great.
The shit they're putting Parisians in is political, but also it's the Olympics themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the people, like most of the citizens of Paris, don't want the Olympics in their backyards.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I've heard that, like, anyone who lives where the Olympics are, it's always a nightmare and they hate it. And it's only good for, like, the government and shit, and everyone hates it.
Yeah, it's never a long-term good for the environment, the city, or its people.
Yeah.
It causes a lot of damage, and then everybody leaves, and then the city, whoever, is left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
It is a way to inject some money into the economy, but like I said, the damage remains and you end up like cleaning after an international frat party or something.
Yeah.
Yet, Marissa, on July 17th, which was after July 15th.
I bet they didn't do it.
The Associated Press reported that Hidalgo made the symbolic swim to calm athletes and the general public about the safety of the river. The
president, who's Hidalgo?
That's the mayor.
Oh, okay. But I thought Macron was supposed to also.
Yeah, he didn't.
Okay, what a fucker.
Following her swim, Hidalgo said, "We will allow Olympic events to take place and allow the people to swim after."
Wait, okay. What was she really surprised? That was, I don't feel so good. And then they waited for her to feel better, and then she said that.
Swimming in the CN has actually been banned since 1923, and it's related to the sewage reasons that I mentioned before, which is kind of ironic because they hosted the Olympics in 1924.
What's happening?
Anyway, she continued, "In cleaning the river, we also avoid trashing the ocean." So, Marissa, how do you take a natural water supply and clean it from the beginning of May, like within 2 months' time? You just made it safe.
I don't know. How did they say that was going to happen?
The long and short of it is, they spent $1.5 billion to clean up the CN by opening a massive underground water storage basin next to an old train station in May. And basically, That facility will collect the excess rainwater that ends up, I guess the excess shit water that ends up in the CN.
Yeah.
The basin can hold the equivalent of 20 Olympic swimming pools worth of dirty water that will then be treated so that it can be reused.
Okay. Huh.
So the way that you clean up a big thing of water is just take some of the water out, clean it, and then put it back.
Oh, that sounds like everyone's going to be fucked when the Olympics are over.
Yeah. So...
How could the Olympics... I don't know, this is probably a very ignorant question, but like, you said it cost billions?
$1.5 billion, but that was just for Paris to pay.
But I was going to say, like, how much does the Olympics bring in? Because, like, well, I guess it brings billions in, but God, just don't do that, and then... keep your money. Like, I don't know. Is that cost effective?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things, too, where you're kind of like, thank God the Olympics came so that they did something about the shit in our river.
Oh, that's a very good point. Oh, yeah, not saying that they shouldn't have. I'm just saying, right. Like, yeah.
This provided a good excuse, you know, like when somebody's coming over and your partner helps you clean the house, you're like, thank God somebody's coming over.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's a little bit about the river. The next thing I wanted to tell you guys about is some of the outcasts. So as we know, there are two terrible wars happening in the world right now. There are probably more that just don't make it on the news. But we know about Russia invading Ukraine, and we also know about the Israeli-Hamas war.
Mm-hmm.
When the Olympics come around, there can be some big statements made at the Olympics. Years ago, Russia was banned from international sport for 4 years. And when they came back, they were actually called the Russian Olympic Committee, independent public organization. Russia doesn't compete, actually, but this group does.
Yeah.
So this allows athletes to remain politically neutral so that they can compete. The Russian national flag is replaced by the flag of the Russian Olympic Committee, and uniforms feature the logo of the Olympic Committee, or the acronym ROC.
Okay.
So... last 2023, the International Olympic Committee, which is IOC, just in case I say that, said that after Russia began its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022, that the Russian Olympic Committee unilaterally transferred 4 regions that were originally under the jurisdiction of the National Olympic Committee of Ukraine to the ROC. So basically they invaded and took territory.
Oh, shit.
And so they're like, you breached the Olympic Charter and you're not allowed to participate.
Wow, so no person who is, there is no Russian anything this time?
Right.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Although that could be different. We'll find out. Because I remember looking at more of this, and anyway.
Okay.
Nope, that was all my research. Okay. So now, Russian people who want to compete in the Olympics actually have to compete under a new group called the Individual Neutral Athletes Delegation.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I think what's nice about that is, I believe you did a topic about this before, Marissa, they don't have to renounce their citizenship in order to participate. But they do not participate under their country's flag, you know.
I'm sorry, what did I do a topic on?
You once did a topic on somebody who was an athlete who had to renounce her citizenship in order to participate.
Okay, vaguely familiar.
Okay, now, I don't know a nicer way to put this, but Russian people and Ukrainian people are white people. Okay.
Yes. That's not a that's fine. You don't need a nicer way to put that. It's not negative.
However, Israel and Palestine are both competing in the 2024 games. And many people have criticized this as a double standard. Because it is.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually just thinking about that. But I didn't know how to verbalize that in the right way. So I'm glad you got to it.
I don't have much more on that. It's just that yeah, you know, I wonder if maybe they're not taking over enough area. I don't know.
That is interesting. Okay.
But I do have a different group that I wanted to mention in the Outcasts heading here. In 2015, the IOC, International Olympic Committee, put a limit on athletes' testosterone levels that required some of them to undergo treatments the IOC now describes as medically unnecessary. Before 2016, the IOC required athletes to undergo genital surgery in order to participate in certain games.
But this year, because they had too much testosterone?
This would be, you know what, I didn't even put it in here as a lead-in, but I'm talking about trans athletes.
Oh, okay, because now I'm not going to verbalize this correctly, and I don't even know who it is. But wasn't there someone who was in a sport that was not a trans athlete, but they had more testosterone than most women have, and I think it was, like, getting in the way of their ability to perform? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
That does sound familiar. Okay. I don't know if it was Olympics related, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, continue. Yeah.
The reason I bring this up is just because this year the International Olympic Committee released 10 principles that make up a framework that, quote, recognizes both the need to ensure that everyone, irrespective of their gender identity or sex variations, can participate in sport in a safe, harassment-free environment that recognizes and respects their needs and identities.
Okay.
So we know that people put out policies and shit sometimes, but the principles include non-discrimination, prevention of harm, no presumption of advantage, right to privacy, and more. Canadian soccer gold medalist and mononym Quinn.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
They just go by Quinn.
Oh, no, what's a mononym?
They just go by Quinn. One word, one name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Said that this new IOC framework is groundbreaking in the way that it reflects what we know to be true, that athletes like me and my peers participate in sports without any inherent advantage, and that our humanity deserves to be respected. Nice.
Cool.
Of course, here at home, 10 U.S. states have enacted laws restricting trans athletes' participation in school sports, according to the Movement Advanced Project, a nonprofit think tank. An additional 21 states have considered similar bills in 2021, according to the ACLU.
Why are think tanks allowed to even do anything?
I know. It's like, oh, thanks for pointing out how we're screwed up.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for thinking about it. Okay. So the next one I thought was pretty interesting, even though I don't have a ton of stuff on it. So this is going to be a short one. But I thought it would be interesting. I don't know. Maybe for anybody, but I thought it was interesting maybe for Alex. All right. So Boston Marathon winner and two-time silver medalist Kenya's Hellen Obiri will be sporting spray-on shoes at the Olympics.
Ooh, what is that about?
The way I understand it, they basically take a mold of your foot and a robotic arm holds the outsole up. Mm-hmm. And a sprayer has an arm that rotates around your foot and basically sprays thermoplastic polyurethane to a mold of your foot.
Okay.
This is a material that has characteristics of both plastic and rubber. When they spiral the stream as a helix, it lands in a single continuous string and bonds to the outside of itself, or bonds to the outsole and itself, I should say, without any glue. So in the end, your shoe cures for 3 minutes and then it's ready to wear.
Okay, so is happening?
Basically, you're wearing a shoe that is custom built to your foot.
Okay, cool.
And not your foot in general, but your foot today.
Yeah, okay.
Obiri said that the first time she saw the shoes, she was like, there's no way I'm going to wear them. And then she liked them, and then she won the Boston Marathon in them. And she was sold. And apparently you can also recycle the material that they make it out of when you're done.
That's cool. I'm sorry, if I want to see what they look like, what do I Google? What is it again? Like, who is she? What's her name?
Helen, H-E-L-L-E-N,
mm-hmm.
O-B-I-R-I.
Oh, those look way less weird than I thought they would.
Yeah, they look like pretty normal shoes.
I thought they were going to look like feet and look like those gross toe shoes. No offense. Sorry. I shouldn't assume we don't have toe shoe people.
Okay. No questions about the shoes are allowed. Thank you.
Okay.
The next thing that I wanted to talk about is the thing that always... I was watching some of the qualifying things, games, and, you know... It always just hits me that, you know, somebody works so hard, they get to this certain place, and then they get a certain score. So I had some questions about scoring.
Okay.
Arturo Padilla will be one of 36 judges in the world when women's gymnastics events happen. He is a gymnastics coach in Statesville, North Carolina, who started judging small competitions in 2013 and over time had to pass several difficult exams, judge at least two world championships, and score two perfect scores.
Okay.
Now, I don't quite know what that means.
Me neither.
So we're going to skip that.
Okay.
The course and exam that were required of him to judge for the Olympics are by invitation only. So you also have to kind of like boost your profile and get out there and network in order to be invited to participate in this.
Mm-hmm.
In gymnastics, two judges sit on the D panel, which judges difficulty. Five sit on the E panel, which judges...
Expertise.
Nice. I thought you were going to come up with something silly, which is why I opened the door. Oh. Execution.
Okay. Sorry, you know what? My groceries got delivered a moment before, so I was slightly distracted. Otherwise, I would have been on my feet.
So, basically, when you get... a score, no one judge is like judging the performance, which I feel like we knew. But also the highest and the lowest execution scores are dropped and the three remaining scores are averaged and then they're averaged with the difficulty scores. Although, no, wait, that's not true anymore.
Okay.
Put that aside because I think I figured that out later.
Okay.
And this is how they weed out anybody who like, let's say... I don't know, you got distracted by somebody in the audience and you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, okay.
If you give somebody an unreasonably high or unreasonably low score because you weren't paying attention, which, by the way, would never happen. Your score is likely to get removed.
Oh, that'd be so embarrassing, though. You work your way up to be the judge and they just, like, negate your score.
Yeah. Then there's a reference panel that actually corrects any problems with the execution scores. So let's say you're checking off a list and you're like, oh, they didn't do this particular thing right. This reference panel gets to look at your card, so to speak, and say, mm-hmm. oh, they're actually wrong about that. Let's give them back some points for that.
Okay.
So for diving, judges are selected by an international federation that oversees water sports.
Okay.
To participate, you must first take some courses and pass a big test. You have to get more than an 85% on it. And then you get your diploma from diving judge school. From this point,
life has so many paths.
Right.
You never
know. From this point, you have to go and walk the walk. You have to keep up with recertification. You have to follow appropriate behavior expectations, and you have
what
to keep.
What does that mean? Like you can't be smoking crack? Like
I'll tell you. Okay. And you have to keep up with the rules because rules can change over time. While judging a contest, the judge must at all times reflect appropriate international behavior, which includes to wear the appropriate dress code,
what
to report for duty on schedule and attend meetings called by the referee, to be alert at all times.
That's valid.
Not to communicate with other judges and coaches during the event. Not to coach the diver from the chair. Like, no shit.
Yeah, all of this makes sense, except I want to know what this dress code is. I don't expect you to know, but that's on my mind.
You also have to be prompt in the response, in your response to referees for scores, and you also have to be able to concentrate on the event and the field of play.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I saw some people who were judging diving, and basically they had, like, white polo shirts on, white khaki shorts, tucked the shirt into the shorts. wear a belt, a couple of them wore like hats, but other than that, that was pretty much what you had to wear.
Okay, that's reasonable. As long as, I always think when I hear like international dress codes, I always imagine women are going to have to wear heels. Like, to do it, I mean,
I feel like that's dangerous at a swimming pool.
Well, no, that's true. I think it might have stopped it, but at least, I hope they did. At least until recently, you, like, had to wear heels to be at Cannes Film Festival if you were a woman, which is insane to me. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. Continue.
After, okay, that was the wrong word. All judges, coaches, and athletes, just in case you didn't know, must also agree to the Olympic Oath, which is read during the opening ceremony. The oath is about respecting the rules of the game and has been adapted over time to include things like doping.
Okay. So, the coaches can't dope?
The judges cannot dope, no.
Okay.
Nor can the coaches. So when it comes to scoring, I'm sort of segueing into what I called the goal.
Okay.
It seems perfect to talk about the goal for athletes while we're talking about scores, because you often think, oh, I got to get a perfect score. That's why I don't think they should call the eye test an eye test. I think they should call it an eye examination, or an examination of your eyes, because it's not a test. There aren't wrong answers.
Yeah.
Anyway, for events like diving or gymnastics, you probably want to get the highest score you can. Marissa, what's the highest score, say, in gymnastics?
10?
That's what you would think.
Or is it, like, something stupid now?
It's... There almost isn't one.
What does that mean?
There almost isn't a highest one. Okay. Nadia Comaneci achieved a 10 on the uneven bars in 1976. Between then and 1992, there have been many 10s, but you really don't see them anymore because a 10 is a baseline score now. So if you do all the stuff you're supposed to,
you could
end up with a 10.
Okay.
But Simone Biles, for example, scored a 16.05 on the vault in 2016.
Okay.
So what's
so
always 20 tough...
the highest?
I'm sorry?
Is it 20 the highest?
No.
What the fuck?
Basically, I thought I wrote this in, but it doesn't look like I did. Okay. Right. Okay. So I talked before about the D panel and the E panel.
Mm-hmm.
And the D panel scores difficulty. So when you go up there, and the E, execution, so you could score like a 10 on execution, and then you would get additional points based on the difficulty of what you chose to do. So if you chose to do the most difficult thing, you would potentially get more points. Because if I chose the most difficult thing possible and I did a perfect job on it, but you chose the easiest thing possible and did a perfect job on it, we would both get 10s.
Yeah, gotcha.
So they actually readjusted these things over the years. And, yeah, I think 1992 was when they first started to look at it. And I think somewhere in the early 2000s, they actually said perfect 10s aren't really a thing anymore.
That's pretty cool. That makes sense.
But I didn't know that. So each time I see somebody's score, I'm always comparing it on a scale of 0 to 10.
Well, I didn't know that either, and, like, I was very confused. So I saw Simone Biles when she was not doing her best last time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I could be remembering it wrong, but I think I recall her scores not being as bad as I expected, because she was, like, messing up. But I don't think I understood that she was doing something far more difficult than a lot of people, so then that still, like, gave her... Yeah, okay. That really makes things make sense, and I'm really
Doesn't
glad
it?
I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, before I watch gymnastics, otherwise I'm going to be so fucking confused. Yeah.
I wanted to share that with the people.
That's very important.
The athlete's quest for excellence requires sustained motivation, setting high achievement goals, and maintaining high standards to meet winning expectations. Those who aim for perfection have a very low tolerance for failures of any kind. They have a strong desire to demonstrate mastery for the approval of others and are extremely self-critical, all under these guise of trying to be their best. But this type of perfectionism might seem like a positive thing.
No, not at all. As you're reading this, I'm like,
right.
This is all fucking terrible.
And if you want to maintain excellence, right, then you do have to do all these things.
Yeah.
But that's the part that I always struggle with the Olympics, because, you know what, I'm making this sound like a natural thing, but really it's just like this. I picked a certain person who talked about this, so that, because they said it better than I could. Okay.
Okay.
Let me quote Carrie Strug, who is America's sweetheart, when she did the vault with a messed up ankle in 1996. She said in couldn't remember the word editorial. She said in an editorial, "I wouldn't even want to find a perfect athlete. To do so, the idea of perfection would have to be set in stone, which would mean that one could never hope to be amazed by any new record or new achievement.
Yeah.
I want to believe that we can always do better, that there's always the promise that we'll see something we haven't seen before."
I want to say, I really like the Winter Olympics. They're my favorite. Mm-hmm. And last time I watched it, I do not remember, but this one guy, you know, he was the favorite from the U.S. and he did win. He was like a robot. But there was this like figure skater from Mexico who, I think he fell a couple times. He was so cool. And I hadn't seen a routine like his in years. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like obsessed with him. And I think he was like one of the first like Mexican Olympians in that sport in a long time, or maybe ever, or in a very long time. Anyway, like I just thought that was a good quote, because when you're just absolutely perfect at doing exactly what you're supposed to do, it's like, that's nice, but it's like kind of boring. But it's those Olympians that like bring something new to the table, even if they're not perfect, that are like why you watch the Olympics, in my opinion.
Yeah. There was, during one of the qualifications, I think it was like the women's 100 meter or something, a woman won, and I forget her name, but she's super fast. And, she won, and they went up to her afterwards and they were like, what were you thinking when you looked up and saw the time? And she was like, I was thinking I could have done better. And I'm like,
wow.
Shit, lady, you just won. Like, go easy on yourself.
People with like attitudes like that, I bet, are intolerable.
So while perfection isn't possible in athletics, greatness is. This is still more Carrie Strug. Few other walks of modern life allow greatness. Like, you can excel at the act of teaching, for example, but nobody's going to necessarily hold you up as a greatness, you know, as a great teacher. I guess that's not true.
Maybe they should, okay? Maybe that's the problem with our society.
And that, to her, is why the appeal of sports is so enduring. It's the possibility of failure, the excitement and anticipation of wondering whether someone will stick the landing or score the basket that makes the great athlete so exciting to watch. Perfection would be boring because we would know the outcome every time.
True.
Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the outliers, and then I'm going to get to the main reason that I did this podcast today.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be the pooping.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm going to outdo pooping, Marissa.
Let me be the judge of that.
I wanted to talk very briefly. In 2021, Slate ranked every Olympic sport, almost 340 of them, and at the bottom was the men's 50K race walk.
I forgot that's a thing.
Yeah. This is a 3.5-hour competition of watching people, because it's 50 kilometers.
Whoa, I thought in my mind it entered feet. Okay.
This is a 3.5-hour competition of watching people move their legs and hips in weird ways to ensure that the front of their foot lands before the back foot lifts. To watch this as a competition includes watching judges flag competitors for missteps, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Which makes you really question what you're doing with your life while you're watching a 3.5-hour walking competition.
Yeah.
Also ranking low was the 20K race walk.
I kind of want to watch part of that, at least, though.
Absolutely. Everybody should watch the last 15 minutes of it.
That's kind of fun.
The Modern Pentathlon was also on this list, and they were making a judgment on this one because they said that it was not accessible for most people in the world because you have to run, swim, shoot, fence, and do equestrian things.
Oh, so like only like really wealthy people could really do it,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
There was also women's duet artistic swimming, which is like synchronized swimming, but there's only two of you, so it feels a lot more embarrassing.
Oh, I want to see that.
They also listed several sailing events and open water marathon swimming, like a 6.5 mile swim, which runs around 2 hours to watch people do this. Like, endurance events make me tired when I watch them.
Ew, wow.
And it should be noted that this list ranked men's basketball, women's soccer, and women's gymnastics at the top of the list. And while those are interesting sports, they're kind of like the Starbucks of the Olympics. So I encourage you to watch something that you haven't seen before if you get the chance.
I want to see trampoline and handball.
Yeah, and breakdancing.
That's a thing?
That's new this year.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Breaking.
Yeah, how dare you.
All right, now we're ready for it, guys. Every time the Olympics happen, I always look for one thing. Any guesses, Marissa?
Like a sport?
It's like new every time the Olympics are happening.
A commemorative stamp.
Absolutely, you got it. So,
oh, are
this
you
year's
the baguette?
No.
Oh, because there's a baguette stamp that smells.
I'm talking about the Olympic mascots. I love finding out about the Olympic mascots every time they have them. The Olympic and Paralympic frieges are the mascots for this game.
What's a frieges?
Marissa, when I say French hats, what do you think of?
Berets.
Absolutely a beret.
Yeah.
If I said, nope, take berets off the list, what would you come up with next?
Frieges.
I would come up with those hats that, like, people rowing wear. You know, like, on the river, if you're like... but yeah, apparently, it's the Friege, guys.
Are you going to show me a picture, or do I need to Google Frieges?
I'm going to let you know when you can.
Okay.
Because it's at the end.
Okay.
Every French movie that you see, there are Frieges all over the place. Not really.
All over the place? Why are there hats all over the place to begin with?
The Friegian cap is a soft, generally red hat, and it was worn by slaves in Frisia, an ancient Greek kingdom that is now Turkey. At the time of the French Revolution, the Frisian cap was worn as a symbol of freedom.
Okay.
President of the organizing committee said, "We chose the Frisian cap because it's a very strong symbol for the French Republic. For French people, it's a very well-known object, and it's a symbol of freedom." Adding that, the fact that the Paralympics mascot has a visible disability also sends a strong message to promote inclusion.
Okay.
Each Friege was given a personality. The Olympic Friege is the smart one with the methodical... This is messed up, guys.
Something is not going to be good.
The Olympic Friege is the smart one with a methodical mind and alluring charm. The Paralympic Friege is a party animal who's spontaneous and a bit hot-headed.
Huh, that's a weird... Yep, something's not going to be right. That's weird.
Yeah. Marissa, you and I both have MFAs in creative writing. This could be one of our jobs.
Writing a story for these Frieges?
The Frieges are the two main characters in a large tribe. They're part of the family of Frieges, explained Paris 2024 brand director Julie... Madakine?
You want me to say it?
It's not French. It doesn't feel French.
I don't want to say it then.
According to our narrative, they have existed for thousands of years and were present during several key events in French history. Now they have returned to this big event in France to lead a mission of revolution through sport. The aim is to show that sport can change everything in a society. The objective is to show that sport and its values can do great things. It's about fraternity, solidarity, and it helps society grow.
That's what the Frieges are supposed to do?
That's a bunch of bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of boring. Well, I want to know about the party animal.
The Phreges have been likened to a giant clitoris in trainers.
Who says that?
Trainers being sweatpants, guys.
I thought trainers were sneakers.
Oh, maybe.
Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure they'd be sneakers.
Okay. The French newspaper...
That's a fucking French hat?
Libération hailed it as a revolutionary departure from the traditional phallic symbol of the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, I don't think it's like mega. I mean, it is phallic, but it doesn't look like a dick. It doesn't like straight up look like a dick. Who cares?
And so...
Baguettes are more phallic, in my opinion.
Those are the mascots, and you can see that the Paralympics one has a prosthetic leg.
Wait, I can put it again?
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to show me as you said that.
Oh, I sent you a picture.
Oh, I'm stupid. I don't know. Give me a chat. Let's do that thing where I don't know. Okay, there we go. Oh, that's fun. I don't think they needed to make him hot-headed or her hot-headed. Right? But otherwise, it's fun. Why couldn't they just both be nice hats?
Yeah, nice, just nice.
Fun hats. Yeah. I think they look cute, though.
The Phreges came under scrutiny because most of the stuffed animals were made in China.
Oh. I mean, okay.
I think 8% were made in France.
I don't... Oh, they look really cute in that picture. They look less cute, like, in costumes.
Like, as an actual hat? Or do you mean...
No, I mean, like...
Oh, as people wearing the costumes, yeah.
Yeah, people wearing costumes. Oh, yeah, let me... I want a Phreges hat.
Phreges, you know, what's hat. What's insulting about the costume is that you can tell that the one who's doing the Paralympic one has a leg.
Oh, yeah. These hat looks like... These hats. These hats look like... Just go.
You can say it if you want.
No, it wasn't even bad. Is that like gnome hat?
Oh, I thought they looked like
They don't look like clitorises to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't go down on myself. So I haven't looked that one up.
Though. Breaking news, everybody.
So if you think they look at clitorises, because you should know, call us at 570-POD-11.
Yes. So basically, those are some things I thought you should know going into the Olympic Games. And yeah, this episode's going to be coming out while the Olympics are happening. But still, hopefully you can, you know, if you find yourself... watching the Olympics with your friends and family, then you can say, hey, you heard about the mascot's clit?
Okay, I would say the clit mascots. I don't think we have the clit of the mascots. Also, so what was Macron, you probably don't know, how did Macron get out of actually doing the swim?
I think he just didn't do it.
What a bitch. Okay. I hate people that don't follow up but don't even say anything.
Let's see if we can find... Okay, so he promised to do it.
Impeach him based on a lie.
The update says he would swim in the CN, but quote-unquote not necessarily before the Olympics.
That's shitty, bitch. Ew. He should have said he was sick or something. That's a shitty response.
Yeah, as of 5 days ago, he's still committed to his promise.
Nobody gives a shit. They wanted you to do it before the whole... Because did she do it before the whole...
Marissa, he's the president. He doesn't have the time for this shit. Yeah,
fuck him. Okay, did she swim before the sewage system was put in place or after?
She vowed to swim after, I think it was July 14th.
But when was the sewage thing in place?
I guess it was by then, I would think.
Okay, I hope so. Yeah, okay. Huh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, those are pretty good. My favorite was the pooping, but all of it was very interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that, again, that you explained to me why I don't understand scoring.
I thought that would be important, yes.
Yeah, I just...
Diving, people were getting sevens, and they were excited about it, and I'm like, that doesn't sound good.
Okay, huh.
Plugs. So, do you have anything you want to plug?
Why don't you go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay.
Okay, so I continue dipping into the well of DC television. But Marissa, don't worry. I'm not watching The Flash. I'm not watching Supergirl. I'm not even watching The Green Arrow anymore.
Okay, what are you watching?
I jumped over to Gotham.
Oh, my father and brother like that.
Which I love because it's so silly and absurd.
Aren't they all?
That it looks like a 1920s city, but they have cell phones and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, there's just no continuity to it, and I really applaud them for just jumping in feet forward.
When is it supposed to take place?
They said that it doesn't really have a particular, like, they didn't really think about that part, I guess.
Okay. They should say it takes place outside of time. That would make it seem smarter. Like, the way It Follows has all sorts of shit doesn't make sense. Okay, so you're plugging Gotham?
Sure. Marissa, you have to tell everybody how you did in Long Legs, too.
Okay. I forgot what I told you exactly. I will say, the moment it ended, I was like, I'm annoyed. It wasn't as scary as I wanted it to be. And it had the exposition dump heard around the world. It was building and building, and then they just explained everything, like, piece by piece by piece, and walked you and held your hand, and you were like, what the fuck is this? And, but then the more I sat with it, the more I saw that there were, like, little, not Easter eggs, or, like, little foreshadowing details throughout that I had missed that made it more interesting. I sounded psychotic trying to articulate this to my friends who saw it with me. I just kept saying, if I'm gonna see a movie that tackles Satanism, you better do your Satanism well.
Yeah, that was a criticism that I heard.
Yeah, and they were just like, what? I was like, I sounded like a fucking hipster. I was like, I'm very picky about my Satanism because I used to be a fundamentalist Christian and I don't feel like this. But like, because I, like, know Christian shit, I wanted to see, like, more Christian shit, like, very linked to the satanic aspects to make it creepier to me. And parts of it, I was like, what the fuck is satanic about that? That's, like, stupid. So, yeah. All of this is not to say that I hated it. I actually want to see it again to see what I missed. But it was a very interesting movie with a very interesting, creepy atmosphere. I don't find it a particularly scary movie.
Did you find it a particularly gory movie?
No, because Pete, God bless him, gave me an article that kind of prepared me. There was one scene that you could tell was pretty gross. I think there's just only one scene that was like pretty rough, and it was, I knew when to close my eyes. I would recommend it if you like creepy movies, if you like serial killer movies, if you do like a movie that has like occult stuff. A lot of people I know are like, I won't fuck with that. It's too scary, occult stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but like, not really.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you do it right, then I could understand that feeling, but...
Yeah, so I would give it like if I had to give it out of 10, I'd give it like a 6 or 7, but that said, I would still want to watch it again just to see like what I missed, and because I love Michael Monroe and Nicolas Cage. Some people said he was acting bad. I thought it was.
But when is he not?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was like interesting. I thought it was pretty cool. But it ended in a way that made me want to scream, and I don't mean like the whole plot end. I mean the last. the last moment that reaches your eyes, I was like, shut the fuck up, bitch. I'll tell you after, unless you're going to watch it.
So it wasn't a scream in terror. It was a scream in...
I was like an eye roll. It was like a, But I bet some people... I think it would send a chill down some people's spine. Because it was kind of bold. But I... Satanic stuff. And I'm not like flippant about it. But it's just like... There's a way to make it horrifying. And there's a way, like... If you believe that all Satanists out there are praying to Satan, then you probably find this terrifying. But if, like, me, you know that, like, most of the people in the Church of Satan just, like, it's like a cheeky sort of thing, and you're just trying to be a nice person, and the word Satan is just, like, ascribed to it, I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I'm sure there are a couple people out there really doing stuff for Satan, but not many people. And it's just, like, this is just, like, a movie based on, like, nonsense. So, I don't know. Anyway. So, I probably made you go like, yeah, okay, I have no idea. And you know what? That's how I feel. But my plug is just to rewatch Veep.
Which it's a good now plug.
Seems as timely as ever.
Yeah.
Aaron had never seen the movie. Nope, not a movie. Aaron had never seen the show. And
sometimes like, I think it would have been a better movie.
Yeah. Yeah, Aaron thought it was a new show. He's like, oh, is this new? And I was like, what? But, yeah. I mean, they were talking about Israel, so it is pretty timely again.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, if you want to call us to tell me your thoughts on my flag, to tell us your thoughts on French hats, to tell us whatever you want, call us at 570-POD-WAD-1, or you can email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/y'allheard, where you will hear a recent Riss's Gossip Grill, as well as a recent Pete Ruins a Movie of the movie Control.
All right. I know I don't review movies, but I feel like I should have reviewed the Zac Efron. I should have plugged that, the Zac Efron, Nicole Kidman movie, which somehow turned into a Christmas movie at the last minute.
Oh, interesting.
I couldn't believe those people were in that movie. It was beautiful. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. You can always slide into my DMs, not with dick pics, but with other things, at Riss Vandal. And, yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.